You lack one thing. You lack one thing, Jesus says to the rich young man. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. This is one of those passages in the Holy Scriptures that we often feel a need to stick handle around. I know I do. Like a good old-fashioned hockey player, a good old-fashioned Ottawa Senators hockey player like Frank Finnegan, who's flying up the ice this morning, flying full throttle over the center line and over the blue line towards the goal, we want to take our powerful hockey sticks, the powerful hockey sticks that are our human brains, and we want to deke left and deke right with this passage. We want to deke left and deke right as if the passage was a hockey puck at the end of our stick, just trying to move it around, trying to get it around to the place where we want it. We want to fly past the defender, past the defenseman, and shoot the puck on net and hear the crowd roar as we score. Jesus isn't speaking to us today, we say to ourselves. Jesus isn't telling all of us to sell what we own and to give the money to the poor, and then we'll have treasure in heaven. Jesus is only talking to this one specific rich young man in the gospel according to St. Mark, we say to ourselves. This couldn't apply to us. We deke left. Well, that's all well and good in Jesus' time, we say to ourselves. Perhaps it was possible to sell everything that you have and give the money to the poor and still survive off the kindness of others. But this is 2018, after all, we say. That sort of thing just won't work for us today. We have to pay taxes, and we have businesses to run, and we have families to clothe and feed. We deke right. Well, maybe if we just give up some of our possessions, give some of them to the poor or some to the church, maybe if we commit to keeping the old Hebrew tradition of tithing and we give up 10% of what we earn, or maybe if we commit to buying local or to supporting community-supported agriculture or to volunteering our time with those in need of the grind, maybe then we'll have given just enough of our time, enough of our talents and treasure to satisfy Jesus' command. We deke left, we deke right, we deke left again. Triple deke. And all this time we've been so focused on the puck, we've been so focused on trying to move this passage of Scripture at the end of our sticks from left to right to left again, all in a way to score a goal, all in an effort to find a way to get around it, to put it where we want it, to get around this teaching of Jesus that seems so difficult for us, so harsh for us, maybe even impossible for any of us to ever fully accomplish. All this time we've been staring at the puck that is this passage and trying to move it around that we've forgotten the one fundamental rule of good old-fashioned hockey. The one fundamental rule of good old-fashioned hockey that folks like Don Cherry have been saying to generations and generations of Canadian kids. Kids, Don says, looking out from Coach's Corner last night. Kids, you got your heads down. Stop staring at the puck. Stop staring at the puck because the defender's going to come along and smoke you. Smoke you right into the boards and take the puck from right underneath you. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. And so we look up. We look up from the puck. And like Frank Finnegan, we look down the length of the ice and we see the face of the defenseman. We see the face of the defender, the one who we've been working so hard to move the stick left and right and left again to try and get around. We see the one who apparently stands ready to smoke us into the boards if we're not careful. And it's Jesus. The face of the defender is Jesus. So often we approach passages like the one we hear this morning from St. Mark's Gospel with fear and with anxiety and with nervousness. And we begin to put our heads down and stick handle it. There's just no way I could ever possibly do that, we say to ourselves. I couldn't give up all my money and sell it and give it to the poor. I couldn't do that. If that's the price of admission for entering the kingdom of heaven, we say to ourselves, if that's the price of admission for moving a camel through the eye of a needle, then there's just no way. There's no way I could ever make it. And in our nervousness and in our self-consciousness, we begin to confuse what is actually a holy invitation with wrath, with judgment. In our fear at our own inadequacy as human beings, we begin to project our nervousness and project our anxiety, our fears of not being good enough, of not being worthy enough. We begin to project them onto the face of God, thinking that God in God's wisdom is going to be the kind of defender who, like the heroes of Rock'em Sock'em, is going to crush us into the boards. Crush us into the boards for not being able to save ourselves. Crush us in the boards for not being able to free ourselves, for not being able to be the authors of our own salvation. We begin to think that God is going to confuse us and condemn us, I should say, into an eternity of hellfire because we, in our selfishness, in our humanity, can't actually do what's being asked of us. We can't bear to part with that one last blessed penny in our pocket. But that is not who God is. That's not who God is. That is not who we see when we finally stop stick handling and look up and keep our heads up and look down the ice into the face of the defender, the face of Jesus. Then who can be saved? The disciples asked Jesus this morning. Who can be saved, they say, motivated by the same fears and anxieties of not being worthy enough, of not being good enough, of not having done enough to merit admission into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus looks at them and says, for mortals, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Our salvation is not riding on our ability to keep every facet of God's laws. Our salvation is not riding on our capacity to sell everything we own and give our money to the poor, as noble and as godly and as good a concept as that is. Our salvation, our admission into the kingdom of heaven, is not riding on us at all. It is a gift. It is a pure gift of God's grace. Gift that each of us has been given by the one true God whose capacity to give knows no earthly limit. A gift from the one true God who models for us, who incarnates for us what it means to accept this divine invitation to give up everything, to lay down everything, to give up life itself if need be for the sake of the life of the world. Never mind our worldly possessions, never mind our money and our clothing and all the material stuff that we think makes this world what it is. Take and eat, God says to us. This is my body given for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. Accept my invitation. Accept my invitation to give of yourself wholeheartedly. To give of yourself fearlessly, to give of yourself without any hesitation. For when you do this, you do it in memory of me. Amen.